You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. Follow us on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and you subscribe to the show so you get it once it goes live. The pop notification comes right to your phone. I guess they call it a push notification too. Whatever. It comes to your phone, and you can swipe up and listen a la carte as you please. We will talk to Shay in Irving, OG on Chicken Dinner. Dak Prescott's the highest paid player in the NFL. Shay has reactions. Making numbers with your buddies, and also just the general degeneracy that we're used to with Shay and Irving. We'll talk to Shay coming up later on in the show. Record check 130, 122, and 5, down 1.9. Hell of a weekend, though. From Saturday through Sunday and Monday, 6-0. Of course, this comes on the heels of a stretch where we were 6-7. Up and down, up and down. If you don't know by now, sports betting is a damn roller coaster. But the process remains the most important thing. You want to make good bets. Sure, I could sit here and gloat about a 6-0 stretch, but nobody cares. I would rather isolate the losses and learn from those. I'm content with losing Russell Westbrook's over 24.5 points. He missed 4 layups and 4 wide open threes, landed on 20. I'll wear that one. I'll take that. I don't hate that bet. It's not a good result, but it's still a decent bet. Betting on the Minnesota Wild against Vegas. We lost this one too. Minnesota went up 2-0 in that game, scored to make it 3-0, but the goal came back for a ticky-tack offsides call, and then Vegas blitzed them, won, I think, 5-2 or 5-3. The game's likely over at 3-0. I have no issue with that bet. And how can I forget James Madison, -1 in the semifinal, +280 to win the title? Dukes are up 24-3 at half in the national semifinal. I'm already putting them into the final and thinking about how I'm going to hedge that +280 ticket for us. Sam Houston State scores 35 points in the second half and they win 38-35. Those are examples of bets that should have won that lost. But if we keep making bets like that, every little thing gonna be all right. I have seen this LeBron James movie many times throughout his career. A LeBron-led team loses game one. People start to panic. Oh no. Is LeBron in trouble? Does LeBron need more help? Well, he always needs more help. Television heads talk about how LeBron is in trouble and the Lakers are cooked or the Cavs don't have enough, whatever. Then they win games 2 and 3 and win the series in 5 or 6. I have seen this 5 times in the last 4 years. I saw it 3 times covering the Bulls in Chicago. It happened in 2011. It happened in 2013. It happened in 2015 when the Bulls won game 1 and lost the series in 5, 5, and 6. So naturally, I am stacking my Lakers bets tonight like they're lasagna noodles. We already have Lakers series, tweeted that out, -110. Such a cheap price to lay the Lakers. Remember, the series price opened -300 at William Hill. Got down to about -250, and then by tip-off on Sunday, it's Lakers -50 or 60. They lose game 1. Now it's a pick 'em. Give me the most important player in basketball in a first-round series to advance. -110, that's easy. Game 2, Lakers money line, -120. And LeBron, over 24.5 points, -110. Let's plow through these real quick. I love the Lakers money line tonight. And if you shop around, you can find -120. If you're offshore, you find -15. I like to give prices that everybody can get legally. -120 on the money line. And yes, I'm going money line because I hate laying 1.5 at a basketball game and the game lands one. This way, I'm okay. To me, it's worth the extra insurance. I don't like laying 120 as opposed to minus 10, but if the Lakers win by one, spread bettors lose and we win. I'm rolling the dice on LeBron scoring tonight, putting the ball in the basket. You can find market price 24.5 minus 10 each way. I don't love this one as much as Lakers money line, but I expect LeBron's volume to increase not only from the floor but at the line. LeBron took 13 shots in game one. He was going through the motions. He was passive. He didn't attack the rim. 7 of those 13 shots were from three, and most of those were off balance or step backs. He didn't post up. He didn't run to the rim. He wasn't aggressive. Odds are good. He's also going to shoot more than 7 free throws. LeBron didn't even play that well on Sunday. Disinterest is a word that I keep coming back to. He didn't look like he gave a shit. Down 1-0, though, you're going to have LeBron's attention. And he's going to throw that cape on to try and even this series and bring it back to L.A. 1-1. And back to the Lakers stock for the series. Minus 110 at most American sportsbooks. LeBron has never, ever, ever lost a first-round playoff series. Many teams have tried, but King James is 14-0, undefeated in round one. And I just don't see the NBA bouncing its biggest star this early in the postseason. He keeps ears on the product. He keeps eyeballs on the product. The ratings go up. And star power is a huge part of the NBA. And nobody's star shines brighter than LeBron's. I don't like the way he acts when he gets pushed or tapped in the lane. He's 6'8", 250, and Chris Paul sends him into the first row. And he's on the floor. He got shot by a sniper again. We stopped the game for 5 minutes. I don't like all that. But the reality is, the league is at its best when its best players and most popular players advance. I don't think LeBron and AD are going to combine for 31 points like they did in game one. And I don't think LA is going to shoot 27% from three. So I am layering those Lakers bets like lasagna noodles. Lakers money line, LeBron over points, Lakers to win the series. Mind you. How about lefty Phil Mickelson? Opened as high as 300-1 to win the PGA Championship. Closed at either 200 or 250-1. And this was a guy that wasn't even on my radar. And a lot of sharp golf bettors that I talked to, they didn't have Phil on their radar either. Now, some people bet him. But most people weren't even thinking about the possibility of Phil winning at age 50. But he outlasted Brooks Koepka and Louis Oosthuizen to win a major at age 50. Patrick Everson tweeted that somebody at DraftKings placed a $1,000 bet on lefty at 300-1. That's a $300,000 payday. Whew. Wish I had a time machine. Wish I had old Biff Sports Almanac. No, they had $300,000. They probably made it back in parlays on Monday night, but I digress. I wish I would have done $50, $100. I have wasted so many $50 and $100 bets on golfers like Bill Haas and Billy Horschel over the years. And those prices were 60 or 70 or 80 to 1. Man, imagine having 100 on lefty at 200 or 300 to 1. And a lot of these books now are letting you hedge out of that. Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet, he had a buddy who bet, I think, $20. And they were offering 30% of the bet on Sunday morning. We'll cash you out if you want. Do you cash? Do you not? Easy in hindsight to say, don't cash it, let it roll. But congrats to Lefty. Also, if you watched the end of Sunday's final round, you learned that COVID is officially over across the country. Did you see the scene on television? No masks, no social distance, no mercy. A flock of human beings in South Carolina watching Lefty make history. I don't want to hear another word about masks, though. Jam-packed Madison Square Garden, jam-packed PGA Championship, arenas all over the country. Getting rid of the masks. It's funny how that works. We wave the wand when we want. I like the starting quarterback markets. We're seeing these pop up, teams like San Francisco, where Jimmy Garoppolo likely starts over Trey Lance. We're seeing them in Chicago, where it's Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. I think Fields should start, but I don't trust Matt Nagy to make the right decision, so I'm on the sidelines there. I do really like the position with the New Orleans Saints here. And y'all know I hate laying juice. Juice kills. But there's a time when juice is inexpensive relative to what the juice should be. FanDuel has the following market for the New Orleans Saints. Jameis Winston, minus 280 to start week one. Taysom Hill, plus 220. Ian Book, 16-1. Trevor Siemian, meow, 20-1. Winston is a great bet to me at that price. Even at minus 280, he's starting week number one. Remember the Kyle Pitts prop NFL draft night? 4 days before the draft, we tweeted out under 5.5 minus 140. Well, I thought you don't like to lay juice. I don't like to lay juice. Minus 140 ain't that bad. By the time we got to Wednesday, the juice is minus 350, minus 400. By draft day, it's minus 550. By an hour before the draft, it's minus 10,000, whatever. I would argue that Winston's true price to start week one is minus 500. Kind of like when Mayweather fights McGregor. Mayweather opens minus 2,500 and closes minus 800. Yes, minus 800 is expensive, but compared to minus 2,500, the true price, it's a bargain. You can't start your season with a gadget guy at quarterback. This is Jameis Winston's team. That's why they brought him in. You can use Taysom Hill in the backfield, quarterback, wildcat, spread him out, whatever. But you can't go into a season with him as your starting quarterback. Barring an injury to Jameis Winston, he's the starting quarterback. And I would argue that minus 280 is actually inexpensive compared to what the market will be and should be going forward. Our buddy loved to travel, loves to play his hit props. But this story is a lesson more in price shopping than anything else. Right team, right price. Right hitter, right price. Matt sent me a note and said, hey, Sam, look at the difference in pricing between BetMGM and FanDuel on Andrew McCutchen to get a hit tonight. BetMGM had minus 155. 155 to win 100. FanDuel had minus 210. 210 to win 100. Matt said, I'm going to smash minus 155 because McCutchen was 0 for 4 Monday and 1 for 5 on Sunday. Or Saturday, one of the days, whatever. Naturally, McCutchen was hitless until the ninth inning when he roped a double to right, and Matt's a winner. Tip your cap. But tip your cap again for shopping around and getting the right price. If Matt loses that bet at minus 155, it's so much better to lose than it would have been at minus 210. If you lose $1,000 bets at minus 155, you're down $1,550, $1,550. You lose $1,000 bets at minus 210, you're down $2,100. You save yourself over $600 in this situation by making the same bet at the right book. Always be shopping. We are 12 days away from Mayweather and Logan Paul, Sunday, June 6th. Dave Mason from BetOnline tweeted this out. Mayweather minus 1,400, Paul plus 650. I can't believe this price is at minus 4,000. Mason adds, quote, as of now, Team BetOnline will be huge fans of the 50-0 Mayweather. 86% of the early bettors are on Logan Paul. And I highly doubt it changes, Mason added. This happens all the time in boxing and UFC. And for all the Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson, forget it. The favorites usually reign in boxing and UFC, especially the elite ones. Mayweather's never lost. He's 50-0. You think he's fucking losing to Logan Paul? I'm not saying lay minus 1,400. I'm saying don't burn your money on Logan Paul. The public loves to bet the big underdog and parlay the big underdog. The books will take a bath. They will get cleaned if Logan Paul beats Floyd Mayweather. I can't believe I just said that sentence out loud. We can move on. I'm just saying, like, 86% of the bets on Logan Paul. You really think Logan Paul is going to outfight Floyd Mayweather? And these were some great bets I saw over the weekend. Aaron Kessler, formerly of the Golden Nugget, he posted a ticket for $100 on Nicholas Waugh to score the first goal in Game 3 of the Golden Knights Wild Series. At 10:37 of Period 1, Waugh put a shot past Cam Talbot and cashed a ticket for Kessler at 80-1, $100 to win $8,000. Let's go. Cecil Peters, at CEC Peets, Cece Peets, very good golf handicapper. Cecil had $400 to win $60,000 on Bet365, $100 to win $25,000 at the Charlestown races. That was a paper ticket. $200 to win $50,000 with a local. And he went next level at FanDuel, a $60 parlay on Phil to win and a LeBron double-double plus a Lakers win over the Warriors. $60 to win $41,138. That's cashing tickets right there. Sheesh. But my favorite bet over the weekend wasn't for a lot of money, and it wasn't by a professional bettor. My buddy Dan Aspen. This was purely organical. I was working on some Red Sox pregame content at Nesson, and we discovered that Martin Perez, the pitcher, was minus 110 each way for his hit prop at FanDuel. And you're thinking, wait a minute, minus 110 on a pitcher, that doesn't make sense. Especially considering the Red Sox were facing Aaron Nola, who going into the game had a 1.40 ERA at home. Nobody's touching him, let alone a pitcher. So I texted the line to Dan. He alerted me that Perez was 1-for-23 all time at the plate. How is this line minus 110? Dan's like, oh, they have no shot against Aaron Nola. Thing is, we can't bet this prop in Massachusetts. So Danny gets on the horn with his boys in Pennsylvania to get down as much as they can on Perez not having a hit at minus 110. You know the drill. The pitcher's got two at-bats, maybe three. Against Aaron Nola in Philly, where he is out of his mind in 2021. In his first at-bat, Perez swung at strike three, and the pitch actually hit him. He didn't take the bat off his shoulder the rest of the night. Perez finished 0-for-3 with 3 Ks. You don't usually get a chance to exploit a book like that for hanging such a bad line. But if you notice more lines like this where pitchers are minus 110 each way to get a hit, that is such a good bet. It may have been a mistake, but if they made a mistake, so be it. We make mistakes all the time as bettors. We bet on edge. We bet on tilt. We put in 4-team parlays and 5-team teasers. I won 3 of 4. I won 5 of 6. We make mistakes all the time. If a book is going to hang minus 110 each way on a pitcher, Martin Perez should have been minus 1,000. To not get a hit, if not higher. But this came from a strictly work purpose. I had no intention of even looking at that market. But every Friday, we do Red Sox Predict the Game. and we're trying to find ways to talk about the game via the numbers. And I'm looking, Alex Verdugo is minus 300 to get a hit. Xander Bogaerts is minus 250 to get a hit. JD Martinez is minus 200 to get a hit. Rafael Devers, minus 180 to get a hit. You get the point. And then you get down to the bottom, and there's Martin Perez at minus 110 each way. It didn't make sense. I know Dan was a nervous wreck the entire game, whether he admits it or not. But that's a good bet and a winner at minus 110. 0 for 3. 3 Ks for Perez. Bach!
Joining us again on Chicken Dinner, and I say again because I think this is the seventh time. I could be wrong. Shane Irving, one of the Chicken Dinner OGs. He is a legend when it comes to the podcasting world. I miss the Shane Irving podcast too, for the record, buddy. And now you're in Connecticut. I'm in Massachusetts. I feel like we're both living in cities and places where we don't belong.
Yeah, 100%. I know I don't. That's for goddamn sure.
Well, I heard you're drinking rosé now. What the fuck?
Yeah, I am. I'm drinking rosé all summer, all day. Rosé Shea is here. It's Fairfield County. I don't have a choice. They don't like, you know, a Modelo with salt and lime. They think it's weird. The rosé by the bottle, they think it's normal. So I just do that.
You have come so far from Irving, man.
I didn't know what rosé was until I turned 30. But now I'm fitting in.
Last time we had you on the show, we were talking about the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, and There was a lot of promise. And I already hear the chagrin, the malaise in your voice on this.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to just read you a quick sentence here. It's one sentence, and I'm sure it's going to drive you up the wall. According to Forbes, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott is the highest paid player in the NFL and the fourth highest paid athlete in the world.
How the hell is that possible?
I don't know.
Is that real?
It is.
In the world?
I'm sure there are some soccer players that make more money than him, but he is the highest paid player in the NFL. How did that happen? How did they didn't even have to do that.
Well, no, hold on now. Hold on. If this is anybody's goddamn fault, it's Jerry fucking Jones. He had a chance to get in there cheap, and he fucking slow played it, thinking he was smarter than he is, and guess what? Now he pays. Fuck Jerry. This is on his dumb ass.
Didn't he just break his leg?
Yeah. Ripped it in half, pretty much. Yeah. And then he got a contract. That's how good Jerry is at a businessman. That's Jerry the businessman. Let's wait till he gets injured, then pay him more than anybody else ever would. Great. Way to go, Jerry.
And yet the win total, I feel like, same as it ever was. 9.5, man. 9.5 in a winnable division where every other team is average.
Under.
Really?
It's incompetence. Oh, okay, tell me how the defense is going to be better than it was last year. Show me. Show me our pass rush. Show me.
You don't have much on the outside. DeMarcus Lawrence is on the wrong side of, you know.
Yeah, who? Who?
Randy Gregory can't stay on the field for multiple reasons. I do like, though, I'll give them some credit. I thought they did a bang-up job taking a defensive player in the first two rounds.
You say bang-up job as if they weren't bleeding out on the street and somebody offered them a goddamn Band-Aid. There was no fucking choice but to go defensive. No choice.
Parsons is a good player falling to you at 12, but you're right. It's more than just the middle linebacker. You have to replace more than just Sean Lee. I mean, they were getting gashed.
That
Thanksgiving game against the football team, I don't know how.
Brutality. That is a big reason of a lot of my familial fights. Are the Dallas Cowboys, but especially on Thanksgiving. Like, they're just asking for trouble.
Who do you fight with the most?
My mama.
She still think they're good?
Yeah, she doesn't like the blasphemy, she says. You know, I do a lot of GDs and a lot of Jesus H's. And she thinks that Jerry, you know, she remembers the good old days still, you know?
She thinks it's 1997.
The 90s were great. She's still drinking boxed wine, brother. Like, she did not evolve. She is still back in there. And she gets upset when I shit on him. But, you know, different people. She is a ginger, too. Like, so the Jason Garrett thing kind of messed me and mama up for a while. Because, you know, I told her what I know about her and the devil's touch and all that stuff. And she doesn't like that very much.
Dallas Cowboys to have the worst record in football, 125-1. Are you interested?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll take that bet right now.
You want to pause this so you can go drive over to William Hill and
show me where that line is. I'll make that bet right now.
BetMGM has 125-1. William Hill has 100-1.
If Dak goes down again, tell me how they can't be the worst team in football.
Houston Texans are going to give them a run for their money, but if Deshaun Watson, assuming he comes back in, I mean, that's the other thing. You know, I always look at the high totals and the low totals, and I think the high totals are high for a reason, like the Kansas City total and the Tampa Bay total.
Right.
You know, those teams are favored in every game, buddy. Every single game.
Of course.
Then you look at the Houston Texans, and it's like, holy shit, the win total's 4.5, and now they're playing 17 games. I have to think at some point he's going to come back into the fold week 6, week 8, and he's going to have to play. How do you handle a team with a win total of 4.5?
Well, if it's with Deshaun Watson, I'm betting on Houston being a forgivable town. If any town allows you to run game on hookers, it's going to be H-Town. I mean, they got them in spades, brother. They're everywhere. I would bet on the over there just because of Deshaun coming back. It wouldn't happen in any Yankee state, but in Houston, that'll play.
So in a hooker off, Houston -130, Atlanta +110?
Atlanta +110, I'm taking that bet.
Oh, well, you just said Houston's the best, though. So not, but see, now I give you a plus
But if
price.
You're giving me plus money, you know I'm a degenerate, and I know the hookers in Atlanta, too, are phenomenal. So there's no other question here.
I think my favorite part of my daily conversations with my boys, and I consider you one of my boys, we can make each other crack the fuck up by just literally texting a number with a plus or a minus. Like, making numbers on everyday things, it's the funniest thing. You know, my girlfriend will look at me and go, what are you laughing at? I'm like, oh, you know, me and Shay are just making lines on something. She's like, you guys are weird. You and I could be making a number on, you know, am I going to have 8 shots of tequila tonight? And I'll say -300, and you'll go, no, too low.
Way too thin. What's wrong with you?
Do you ever make lines with your buddies? I mean, you have to. It's part of the conversation.
It's nonstop, dude. It's also a math thing. Like, I this is the only reason I like math, because my opa taught me how to gamble, and he taught me how to roll dice and probability and all that shit. That's the only reason I'm interested in it. If you tell me long division is something I need for my job, I'm quitting that fucking job. But if you tell me you want to know what the implied odds are and losing the next hand, I'll fucking do that today, right now.
It's amazing, too. You know, we had you on the show. You were one of our first guests on Chicken Dinner. Joe O and I had you on in August or September of 2016. We had to sneak you up the freight elevator to get you in the building. And then we're doing this dinky dunk podcast, you know, at 10 o'clock at night. Nobody knows about it. You know, WGN doesn't know we're taping it there. The Score doesn't know where we're taping it. And it's like we sort of had to slide the show under the mat and then put a rug above the mat and then put another rug above that. And now, man, you can't go anywhere without hearing or reading or seeing gambling. It's so popular. But I keep going back 5 years and thinking about how if you were gambling or talking about gambling, you were a loser or a bum or both.
A degenerate loser, ESPN would cut you off, wouldn't fucking talk to you about anything because you had a problem. Everybody was watching fucking baseball on Wednesday just for the love of the game, you fucking idiots, you goddamn morons. Who the fuck do you think plays fantasy football besides the degenerates? And these morons couldn't see it for the trees because of the puritanical bullshit this country was founded on. Open your legs up, lady. Let's dance.
Now we're up to 26 states. I think we're going to be in 35 states by the end of 2022. That, again, I'm making numbers on the fly here because I love to make the numbers. But I don't know about Texas. I don't know what's going on down there.
No,
are they close?
Way too many Baptists, brother. Way too many Baptists. It ain't going to happen for a long time. You got to get rid of them first.
Who's first? Texas, Utah. Give me a line.
Oh, that's good. Fuck me. It's got to be Texas first, but...
Not a big favorite, though.
No, it ain't. -140, Texas?
Yeah, I was going to say -170.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because
fair
Utah, you can't... I mean, if Shay and Irving and I have to spend a weekend together, the last place in the world I'm going with you is Utah.
Yeah, that's 3-2 beer still, isn't it?
I don't even think you could buy booze on Sundays there anymore.
No, I think you got to have like a card just to buy beer. Like, you got to be a member of a club type shit. Those Mormons are goofy, man.
You could date as many women as you want, but you can't do anything else.
That's the thing. That's the day I knew that whole thing was bullshit, was when they told me that the second rule that dude made was you can have as many wives as you want. I said, okay, well, obviously, this is bullshit. Rule number one was like, I found these golden tablets. Rule number two was I could have more than one piece of ass. All right, man, you got me. You win. Fuck on.
I'm moving to Provo.
Immediately. Let's do it.
I think about the scene, and I haven't been across the pond to see the gambling over there and to see what it's like, but I was told by friends that have gone over there and gone to English Premier League games, say the game is at 10 o'clock in the morning, you can walk on your way from your hotel to the game. You pretty much pass a sports book on every corner. It's like a Walgreens out there. They have them on literally every corner. So you could bet on almost every block on your way to the game. And then when you get to the game, when you walk in and they scan your ticket or your phone or whatever, there's a sports book in the arena. There are kiosks in the fucking concourse. And then if you're lucky enough to have a suite or a box, you walk into said suite or box and they hand you a tablet with the live betting. Like, they are so far ahead of us here.
And they're sponsoring teams and shit. That's a whole new revenue stream that they're about to open up in the sports leagues here that is going to change everything. There'll be casinos in every fucking city once they have actual commercial entities sponsoring this shit.
And the government, they just continue to mess things up. I mean, this isn't a political show by any means, but I mean, some of these states, they think they're going to do like the 35% tax, although, you know, it is that high in Pennsylvania. That's a reality. It's that high in Pennsylvania. But listening to senators and state reps talk about some of these parts of the law and like the things that they want, these people are, they're living in fantasy land.
They have no idea what gambling is. Connecticut still doesn't have legalized gambling. And I'm convinced it's because one out of five people in Connecticut identify as Italian American, therefore have a bookie in the family tree, and they want to stay employed. And here we are. No legal sports betting, but somehow, some way, New Jersey next door has it.
I always wondered, too, because I'm in Vegas working at Visa, and when this thing gets struck down PASPA, and it's 2018, and I thought, man, the bookies are screwed here. But I talked to a couple guys around that time, and they said, you know what? We'll be fine.
Because credit,
we
baby.
We still credit. Offer you credit. You can bet what you don't have, and that's why those guys will always be around.
That's why I still got one. I'm not fucking around with that.
Well, the paperwork, too. I mean, the paper trail sucks for a lot of people. I mean, I know guys that want to get down, but they don't want Uncle Sam to know how much they're gambling.
No. Hell no. That's a big thing for me. And also, I appreciate living in the shadows. You know, I'm nostalgic for it. I miss being an actual dirtbag and criminal now that I'm some fucking reformed loser with three daughters in Fairfield County. You know, I like the spice of life.
What's the line if I would have told 18-year-old Shay, you'll be living in Boo-Foo, Connecticut with a wife and three daughters? What's that line?
God, it's got to be like 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
I'm still on paper at 18. Minus 2,000, 2,500 probably?
The other way, right.
Plus, my apologies. Plus. There's no, I mean, 25-1, 30-1, max bet of 500, I would have laid that.
You would not have bet that. There's no way.
I would have taken that bet. Like, I'll take that shit.
You only had one daughter when we talked the first time. Now you got three. And wasn't it the first time that we hung out for the tournament? We're in Chicago, and we're sitting around. And you opened up the bar because you were knocking on the glass window, and you're like, "They're not open." I'm like, "Yeah, Shay, they open at 11. It's 10:45." And you're like, "Well, let's go. I'm ready to go." I'll never forget. We're sitting there. Joe O's there. I'm there. You're there. We're having a damn good time. We got the darts going. The games are on. And it's, I don't know, 4 o'clock, 4:30. And you're like, all right, I got to go. It's my daughter's birthday party. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that happened. That was a great party, by the way. I had a buddy there at the bar who went with me to the kids' party. We had a great time. We crashed it pretty hard. The roommate was a little disturbed, but we were in a great mood, obviously.
There was somebody at the bar that said, I would not want to run into this guy at the alley. And then he pointed at you. Because you got your tats, you got your rings on, you know, you had the big beard and the big hair. And it's like, I wouldn't want to mess up with that guy either in the alley.
No. Yeah, that's not the dude you want at the end of a bad transaction at midnight. I agree.
What's next? You go Irving, you go to Chicago, you're in Connecticut now. Where's next? Do you even have an idea, or are you anchored down there?
No, I'm screwed now, man. I got the eldest in public school here, so I'll be sticking around for the next 18 goddamn years, I imagine.
Well, I'll take the under 18 and a half, man.
No shit. That's a good bet, brother.
Yeah, one way or the other, you know, one way or the other. I want you to tell the story, if you can, about you and Dan Patrick and how that started, because that's how I started following you. I used to listen when I was in college. I've told you this before. I used to listen to Dan every single day, but I wouldn't listen during the day. I would listen at night because I was always a night owl. Right. They would always put the replay on the Audience Network at like 2 in the morning. Yep. And I'd watch from 2 to about 4. I'd fall asleep and then do it all over again. But you started as a caller on the Dan Patrick Show. How did that come together when you became pretty much a regular part of that show?
Yeah, I mean, Dan Patrick to me is one of the best interviewers on the radio that you can find. I'm like an audiophile, to be frank. Like, I just love talk radio. Even if I don't like the shit they're talking about, I think there's a lost art form in radio that people don't, you know, every fucking film now, man. Like, you used to have to use a little bit of creativity to hear a radio program. Well, I just appreciated the shit out of Dan Patrick, and he wasn't Jim fucking Rome. So that's the dude I listen to every day. And then one day I just got pissed off. I mean, this is one of the first times I called in. I can't remember exactly if it was the first or not, but they were talking about Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson and the Cancun trip. And I was so mad because Troy Aikman, we all thought he was gay until he retired, because we didn't know. Nobody ever saw him with a woman. Nobody ever saw him with a man. It was Troy Aikman, the goddamn Dallas Cowboys quarterback and the Super Bowl winning quarterback. We didn't know if he was dating anybody. And Tony Romo's out here with Jessica freaking Simpson waving to her in the goddamn box. It was too much for me. And I called in and yelled about that. And, you know, I just kept calling. I just kept fucking calling, man.
And we never knew as the audience, we never knew when it was coming. You know, they used to do the chalkboard of guests, and it was 7:30 at so-and-so and 8:15 at so-and-so. And then all of a sudden we get a little surprise Shea action. You just kind of came out, but we never knew. And I think the spontaneity of your calls and the passion of your calls, it made the whole hour of that show, man. I'm serious.
Yeah, but one of the things that always pissed me off about Dan Patrick, love the guy to death, but it's such a Yankee-centric show, you know? It's such an East Coast, and that's all the goddamn media. You know this, Sam. I mean, most of these sons of bitches never make it to the Midwest, West Coast, Southeast ever. They just hang out in Bristol and do regatta on the fucking Sound or go to the Hamptons because they're bored. They don't know shit about real life. And that was one of the things I always called about. Like, come on, man. There's a whole hell of a lot of country that y'all ain't covering. If you want to talk about football, soccer, and lacrosse, like, go fuck yourself, man. It's America. Let's go.
Yeah, I used to love that show, man. I haven't listened because, you know, we get busy and we have lives and stuff like that. But that show got me through my college years.
Same. I mean, that dude, well, I didn't go to school or nothing, but it got me through my rehab years big time. He's the best, dude. He's one of the best.
When am I going to see you again, by the way? Are you coming down to Fenway? I'd love to put you up.
We have to. I have to. Last time I went to Fenway, it was my birthday, and it was so hot. I went to the Nike store and bought like a basketball jersey because I was sweating so bad through a t-shirt. And I got fucking wasted. I mean, wasted at Fenway. Those little itty-bitty chairs in me did not match up very well. But Boston's a fun town to drink in. That's for damn sure.
Well, I don't know how much trouble we can get into. You know, there are some times I think back and I look back with wonder at some of the things we got away with. And it's, I'm crossing myself right now, and I'm not religious.
Yeah, I've testified to that, too. It's kind of a miracle I made it out of Chicago alive, let alone that couple few nights that were questionable.
All right, so I have one final question. Shea and Irving, Chicken Dinner OG, over under, 9.5 wins, Dallas Cowboys.
Under.
I was going to ask a follow-up, but now I can't. You stamped it with the buck. It's over. It's an under.
Goddamn right. It's under. It's a lock. Fucking put that bet in, kids.
That is Shea and Irving. You know him. You love him. Please follow our guy, at Shea and Irving, and we will see you in Boston soon. Always good to catch up with you, bud.
You too, homie. Stay up.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Shea and Irving for hopping on the program. Record check, 130, 122, and 5. We are down 1.9, getting right back where we need to be. And the basketball has been very good. 41 and 30. That's college and pro combined, up 8.1 units. We got Lakers series, minus 110, already in the kitty, and we're adding two more. Lakers money line, minus 20, and LeBron over 24.5 points, minus 110. I really do. He's going to take 20 shots and 10 free throws. He makes 10 shots and 5 free throws, that's a winner, and that's what we need. I know it might be square. Oh, he's betting the Lakers down 1-0. I told you this was going to happen. The Suns would win game one handily. Then it's time to strike on the Lakers. And that's what we're doing. Layer up, load up. Mangia, let's go. Cash your tickets, make some money. On Thursday, we'll talk to Patrick Goy, the founder of the Chicken Dinner Notepad. Cash your tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you Thursday right here on Chicken Dinner. So